This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our friends under the Innovative Company umbrella, Innovative Construction. You heard from Randy Green. We want to thank him and his family for their continued support of Two Birds on a Bat. The Innovative Construction arm handles new construction, project planning, and consulting. They do residential, commercial, and industrial. Make sure you check them out and give them an opportunity for your business. If you had a design build project, they really enjoy doing those types of things and helping you and assisting you from the get-go. New home construction, remodeling, and excavating, they are all you need. Check them out, innovativecompanies.com, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, 35-plus years experience. Our man Randy's a second-generation craftsman, and he takes his business very seriously. But he's a great guy, and you'll have a lot of fun with him as well. So make sure you give him an opportunity for your business, innovativecompanies.com. Well, if anybody followed me on Twitter this weekend, you know that I'm going to be a little animated and a little fired up today. I I'm also going to defend myself a little bit too. But before we even get into any of that, let's bring in our guest, because I have a guest for us that I've been trying to get on the show for a while. But first and foremost, let's welcome in all the way from Puerto Rico, where his brother's doing some amazing things for charities down there, and they just had a wonderful event. Let's welcome in on the M4byYachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how you guys doing over there, man? It's kind of rough over here in Puerto Rico, man. It's really, really rough. A lot of people, I really thought it was going to be bad, but when I got in, it was way worse what I thought. And so a lot of people are in the street. A lot of people are in trying to help out. A lot of rain still falling down. But we're still trying to do our thing, man. We're still trying to help as many people as we can, you know?
No, absolutely. And, you know, we had some issue connecting with you today, so I can only imagine. I mean, you know, if connecting with you is our biggest problem down there, then we'd be doing all right, but it's not the biggest problem. Like you said, you guys are down there trying to do some great work for the community. I'm sure the event that you're doing down there with Benji is bringing a little joy to the community. Why don't you tell us, just take a minute real fast and kind of let us know what Benji, or I'm sorry, what Yachty and your family are doing down there right now.
Well, actually, what Yachty did, man, that event that he got, we got 20,000 plus in that stadium. That's the most people that has been for a game, for a show, for whatever. That's the most that people that stadium has held. There was people outside that couldn't get in because hazard, is that how you say it? Like a danger? The fireman was trying to say that it was dangerous to have that many people in there. And plus, the event was a success. He got like $240,000 or so raised for the people of Puerto Rico. It was an event. It was a crazy, crazy cool event that we have a lot of celebrities from TV shows to the major leaguers, to Team Rubio in Puerto Rico, you know, the one that represented in the World Baseball Classic, to this team that Yachty managed. I mean, it was very cool. There was a lot of people, and we did good, man. So, but now Yachty is in Venezuela doing a clinic today with Jose Martinez, you know, helping him out over there after he just finished Saturday. He flew Sunday, and then today he's doing a clinic with him. You can see him, you know, at Jose Martinez page. he's always posting pictures. So, but that's what's happening right now.
Well, it's great work that your family has done down there, both for the recovery of the island and all the stuff that was obviously, you know, not self-promoted. I mean, it's all other people promoting the stuff that your family did for them, you know, led by obviously Yachty and his love and passion for it and using his platform to do so. But again, more importantly too, at this moment for, like you said, 20,000 plus, just the opportunity to take a day away from all the trouble that's going on and go out and enjoy themselves. So great stuff as always. I don't know that, to be honest with you, anybody that follows the show, follows you, I don't know, and Yachty, of course, and your other brother and your family in general, I don't know that anybody expects anything less. So thank you. From a humanitarian effort, thank you for being you, of course, and your family as well. I want to welcome in our other guest who very well respected on our show and very well respected in the Cardinal community. When we started this podcast, you know, one of the challenges was, okay, there's lots of Cardinal podcasts. How do we do this? How do we become relevant? And, you know, I started reaching out to some people and, you know, social media is obviously a big part of this. And I just made connection with a guy that ran a Facebook page and his name was Chris Lawless. And I got to tell you, he was very well respected in that community. A lot of loyal fans on his Facebook pages. And what I like the most is you can tell that, and let's face it, this is the real world. So not everybody's always, you know, roses and peachy cream and unicorns and butterflies and puppy dog tails. But for the most part, 90 something percent of the people respect and really appreciate the amount of time that this guy put into what he does. And, you know, so I started chatting with him and he was a big help to us as we got it going. He supported our show since day one. I've been trying to get him to come on just to tell us what he thinks. And I know he has aspirations of doing his own podcast and stuff as well. So finally, I'm able to get on everybody's friend when it comes to Cardinal baseball, the founder of Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, the great Facebook pages, our friend and yours, Chris Lawless. What's going on, bud?
Hey, I'm glad to finally be on, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's listen, you're a busy man. You've had a lot going on. First and foremost, how is your fiance?
She's still recuperating, got a long road ahead, but we definitely appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers, and, you know, we just take it a day at a time, and, you know, life definitely throws you curveballs sometimes, but, you know, you just gotta keep on focusing on the positives, and I think she's in a good place, just got to keep on working.
Well, you know, our thoughts have always been with you. You know, Benji's a very spiritual guy, very positive guy. He's had you in his thoughts this whole time, so know that we're always behind you, and it is nice to see that all these people that respect and appreciate it, they've been praying for you guys, I know, since day one. But, you know, the best part of Cardinal baseball is maybe, you know, we can take a few minutes and get away from the problems of life. But I got to tell you guys, after I do this little gratuitous intro here to remind people where they can find us and stuff, I'm a little unhappy right now. And I'm going to say this, I'm unhappy to this point. Now, I'm not stupid. I know the offseason is not even close to being over. But to this point, I'm very unhappy, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Want to remind everybody, make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. It's where you can listen to the show. You can subscribe to the podcast, which is absolutely free. It'll be downloaded on your mobile device and ready for you to listen to at your pleasure, which is the greatest part of podcasting. More importantly, during this holiday season, if you guys would do your Amazon shopping, and we know everybody's shopping with Amazon because this guy's got more money than he knows what to do with, if you read the paper, go to twobirdsonabat.com, click the Amazon banner down on the right. You're done with us. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a very small referral for you guys doing your shopping through our website. So thank you so much for that. Find us on our social media pages. We've made so many friends through it. We appreciate all of them greatly, and we're really enjoying it. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Our big ask from you is go to Facebook, simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, and then the real work comes in. I really need you guys to do this. Like our Facebook page, click Invite Your Friends. It's down on the right. If you would invite all your friends that are Cardinal fans to like our page, we would greatly appreciate it in an effort to grow the show. You can find us on Instagram as well. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to have you a part of that. And as I have Chris Lawless on here, don't ever let me forget to mention how important the Facebook groups are to the growth of our show. I'll start right there with Chris Lawless and his wonderful pages, Cardinal Nation, Cardinal 24/7. They've been instrumental in the growth of our show and allowing us the opportunity to reach you and let you learn more about us. And, of course, you know, let's face it, share the knowledge and the thoughts of a former big league catcher and brother of Yachty when it comes to Benji Molina. RallySquirrel.com, Nate McHenry is another guy we affiliated with earlier. We're happy to be a part of the Rally Squirrel Report, which we do with Nate every week. Nate's a passionate Cardinal fan. He's got a massive Facebook following, and RileySquirrel.com is where it's at. If you want to be part of the Riley Squirrel Club, simply go to RileySquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can get that additional premium podcast. You can also be eligible for those great prizes from Fan Cave Sports. Don't forget Art City Sports. McLight's come on board lately, and he's really supportive of the show. He's kind of taken us to another level. He also has lots of people that follow him on Facebook, and with him pushing our content out, we're reaching more and more people. We can't tell him how much we appreciate it either. A guy that kind of flies under the radar, Cardinal Freaks. He's another one. Right at the time we met Chris, he was like, man, he started sharing our stuff, and he's a big fan. He's another one that I want to get on here as well. St. Louis Cardinals fans, unite. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And everything STL Sports, another one. Thank you so much for your continued support of the show. Again, the Facebook community, the social media community has been nothing short of amazing. Well, guys, let's talk some Cardinal baseball. I'm going to say a couple of things here. Number one, we were on Stanton watch for quite some time. I'm on record as saying on here from the beginning that it was going to be a massive undertaking to get him. All I really wanted the Cardinals to do was take their best shot at him, but I didn't want them to, and pardon my language, I didn't want them to half-ass the effort. And what that means is I didn't want them to walk into the Marlins meeting and say, well, you got to dump him, so we'll give you some of these guys and we'll take on this. No, they had the power to walk in there and force everybody's hand and say, we'll give you prospects and we'll take on the money. And they did that. So I can't fault the front office. I said since day one that I felt their best chance to get him is if they walked in there with an offer and everybody else was like, we're out. And then the Cardinals are the last team standing, and then he has to decide, do I stay in Miami or do I go to St. Louis? I felt like that was our best option. Now, we heard earlier it was geography. Like all things, we don't always get the story. Last week, towards the end of the week, or in the middle of the week, he submits a list that I think was brilliant. He sent a message to the Dodgers. If you don't trade for me, one of your biggest competitors can. He sent out probably the four most likely teams to be in the World Series next year and said, hey, Dodgers, you better come get me, because if not, I'll go play in these other cities and try to win, because I still control my own destiny in 3 years. And I'll be darned, the Yankees stepped up and made it happen. So now Stanton's a Yankee. We are moving on, and I get excited. So as we move on, and again, I don't hold the Cardinals at fault, so I'm not freaking out over that, right? But I got to tell you, these first two signings, and I know they're only two signings, and I want to preface this. I hope both of these guys are great. I hope this guy comes in from Japan, and I hope he's found himself, and I hope he does a great job. I hope Luke Gregerson comes back from a really down year last year. I hope he comes back and is fantastic. But, guys, you tell me where I'm wrong. We are not in a position. We are not in a position to take chances on guys right now. And if I'm wrong, I want you to tell me. I'm going to start with you, Benji. And again, this is not, I'm not giving a grade to this point on our offseason. I know it's not over. Heck, for all I know, by the end of the week, we might have Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Alex Colome. I have no idea what we're going to have a week from now. That's not my point. My point is, to this point, I say, so far, so what? Benji, am I wrong?
Nope. You're not wrong, buddy. You're not wrong. I'm super pissed right now. Not because we didn't get Stanton, because that was a toss-up. That was, you don't know what was going to happen with Stratton, and you didn't know if he was going to accept the trades anyway. So I cannot be pissed at that. What I'm kind of pissed about is that you don't have too much time before these guys start going away. Morrow, we had a chance to get him. I thought he was going to sign with the Dodgers. We had a chance to get this guy. He's legit. He showed everybody that he's ready to go, that he pitched the whole year. And there's more guys out there, and we haven't done anything. And then we go out and get Mikolas, which I told you before, I coach, great guy. He went to Japan, but we don't know what to expect from the guy from Japan. So here is a very, very different ball game. So I don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe they're waiting for the winter meetings, maybe to see the GM's faces face-to-face and something like that. So we need to do something. We need to keep doing something. I hope and I pray the way they're going right now tells me that we're not going to do anything higher, that we're not going to go after the top guys. We're always going to go about the middle guys, the guys who could have, or we're praying that they have their best years with us. things like that. They're not showing me that they're going to go after top guys like Davis or Greg Holland or Hand, like we've been talking about, or Coleman. Obviously, we don't know that because the winter meetings are coming. So, but yeah, Jimbo, I'm with you. I'm really getting nervous now. I'm still positive because the names are still out there. That means we can still get them, you know, like Hosmer or whoever, you know, whoever we've been talking about other than Stan. So, yes, I am really pissed, but I'm still worried about what the office is going to do, and I hope they don't throw us a curveball, right?
Absolutely. Chris, obviously you have some thoughts, and you're a positive guy, but you're also honest, and I respect that a lot about you and your pages. You try to keep, as an administrator of Facebook pages, you have to keep order. You also probably got to keep your head sometimes. Your thoughts to this point, obviously Stanton was a big thing, and for any Facebook administrator like yourself, you were probably seeing post after post after post about Stanton. But as we move on, your thoughts so far, and really just any general thoughts you want to give about the whole situation?
Well, as far as Stanton goes, I'm glad to see that the Cardinals made a play for him and that they did all they could do. Personally, I think the other two signings so far have kind of been underwhelming. If you're in a situation where you're not trying to overtake the Cubs and actually make a run, these moves wouldn't be too bad. But Mazalak had talked about pitching, staying young, or going younger. You go out and get a Gregerson, doesn't really fit the narrative of what he's talking about trying to do. As far as Mikolas, I mean, I might have took a flyer on the guy, but to be talking about giving him a 1-5 roster spot on your, you know, rotation, that's a lot to invest on a what if. So right now I'm underwhelmed on what they're doing. I mean, you hear that the Cardinals are supposed to be going
$16 million, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot to tie into something that you don't know for sure what you're getting.
Well, I look at it, you know, like you said, I'm not ignorant. I get it. Okay, Luke Gregerson's a name. He's been a pretty good closer. You know, he's closed. He's been an eighth inning guy. He's done all this. But he's declining. Okay. And again, I don't have a crystal ball. Okay. He may come in here and be awesome, but that's the real key here. What I just said, he may be. And that's my point on this whole deal. I'm not smart enough to know what these two guys are going to do here. But what I do know is that I have no idea. And for anybody else to tell me they have an idea based on what they did last year would be insanity. You're not going to tell me that you know for a fact what you're going to get out of both of these guys. Now, you could say, well, Jim, most people are like, that's the problem. We are not in a position like we have been in the past where we have this really good roster. Where we have this really good roster, and then we add one or two pieces, or we add three or four, and we hope two of them work out. We're not in that position. We're in a position where, I'm sorry, we aren't very good. We have holes on our team. You don't fill real holes with maybes, especially when you have money and you have prospects. That's my point. Again, people say, well, Jim, it's not over. You know, I still think they're going to – and again, if they surprise me and sign two more relievers, I'll be shocked. That would shock me if they got Colome and a Reader and Nicasio. I think now it's one more guy because, let's face it, we always get a reliever in the Rule 5. It feels like we do anyway. It seems so cardinal now to go get some Rule 5 guy unprotected and put him in the bullpen. I do think they understand they got to get a closer type guy. So I do think we're going to sign one more. But I don't see any way, shape, or form we get two. So while we've wasted a roster spot on a guy that is declining. That's my problem with this whole thing. And now we've got another guy in the mix for starting that is simply, I'm sorry, this is nothing more than a budget move to try to arch their way to some of their young pitching in the minors. And while I understand that, and if we had four pitchers, okay, if we had four starting pitchers that were good to go, I would say, okay, but we don't. That's my problem. This guy might wind up being a number two or three starter for us with all the problems we got. I don't understand it. I'm underwhelmed. It makes no sense. This sense of urgency felt different to me this year because they were attached to everybody. You never see us attached to everybody. I mean, we do our due diligence and all that kind of stuff, but this was different. And I say this and I'll say it again. Guys like Luke Gregerson, guys like this Mikolas, however you pronounce his name, these are prime guys to be signed by teams like San Diego, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, Miami. They are signed to teams like that because you hope they have that. And this is what kills me. People are like, oh, these guys are perfect bounce-back guys. Well, bounce-back guys go to teams that have no chance of winning the World Series and making the playoffs. And if they do bounce back, then they trade them at the deadline and get something for them. And basically their investment is signing them. That's what a bounce-back guy is. Or you have a really good roster and you bring in two or three guys and you really only need one or two of them to work out. That's what a bounce-back guy is, not a guy to bring in and say, okay, we've shored up our bullpen now with this bounce-back guy. We've shored up our starting rotation with a bounce-back guy. I don't want to hear that shit. We got money, we got prospects, and we got a need. And I'm telling you, and I will say this, I have defended a lot of people over there, but I've also ripped on them because they have not proven what they're willing to do. I do think some things have not been their fault, but I have never not faulted them for spending money. They need to spend some money. And I promise you, if they fail this offseason again, they started feeling it at the cash register last year, they will feel it this year. Benji, you can take my comments, rip them apart, do what you want. But this is, in my opinion, this is completely unacceptable. I'm sorry.
It is unacceptable. I'm with you. I'm not against you. I think even though we're not done yet, obviously everything can happen and we can get a good bullpen guys and they can even get two bullpen guys. Who cares? And a bat and then at the end of the whole negotiations, we get a starter and that, you know, they can still do it. That's not the point. The point is look at who we're competing against to, you know, I don't think they're looking at that point. They're not looking at that angle. They're not seeing in front of them that we're facing Milwaukee, that we're facing the Cubs. And who do the Cubs get? Mauro. So those are the top guys in the bullpen. So why the Cubs are getting Mauro? Why? Because they want to get to the top. They're doing it to the top guys. Did you see any interest in the Cubs whatever his name is, Gregerson? Did you see any interest in the Cubs to go sign Mikolas? Did you see any interest on Milwaukee? Did you see any interest on those guys? No. You know, why do we have to have that interest on those guys? It's the guys that we have to beat. They don't even pay attention to those guys. They go to the top guys because they know who they're facing. They know Milwaukee's going to be strong. And then they know Cardinals are going to be strong and fighting for something if we get the guys. So that's why those guys go for the top, bro. Why do you think the Yankees go after Stanton? Why? Because they know they're facing the Red Sox coming up. The Baltimore is always giving crap and things like that, you know? That's without counting the wild card. This is just the division. And that's why they go out and get the best guys, dude. It's not because anything else, but they understand who they're fighting against. The Cardinals right now need to understand who they're going against, to win the division, because that's what I'm fighting for. I don't want no freaking wild card. That happens at the end if we don't make it to the division. I understand that. But the division is what I'm looking for, and I'm going to go fighting with these guys, you know, that they got, which, like you just said, I hope and I pray that they do well because I don't want them to do bad. Of course I don't. But do you see any interest in anybody for those guys? No, man. Let's go get the guys that are going to put us over the top. And if you were willing to pay $290 million, dude, $290 million for the next 3 years, you are willing to pay that to one guy, why the heck can we go get two bullpen guys of name? Why the heck can we go get a bat? Why the heck can we get a starter that can help us get over the Cubs and get over Milwaukee and all these guys? We can win the division. And like I said before, Jimbo, I'm not talking about we still got time. We do. We still got time, and I hope that they understand what the other teams are doing and we can get this guy on. I understand. We still got time, and I hope the next show – We're going to be talking about the new guys that are coming in and things like that, okay? But if it stays like this, I mean, God be with us, man. That's all I can say.
Chris, I'll shoot it over to you and let you start the conversation. Obviously, I think all three of us are very underwhelmed. I'll start with you on the next part, though. So the Cardinals are tied to a lot of people. We hear a lot of names. I want you to be realistic now and tell me of what's out there. What would make you happy now? Like, moving forward, if the Cardinals walk away with this, what would make you happy?
Well, for me, I would like to see the Cardinals go and try to win now. And in my opinion, getting somebody like Ozuna that's tied up for, you know, 2 years, that gives you a 2-year window, and I'm good with that. Gold Glover, I like his swag. I make a play to get Ozuna. I like it. Somebody like a Longoria, he wouldn't be bad as a side piece if we're getting Archer in a deal. But I'm not real sure how much truth is it that Tampa Bay's selling on Archer, and same with Machado in Baltimore. I'd love to have the guy, even if he's a 1 year, you could maybe do a trade and, you know, sign type thing. Machado would be great, but I think he's going to be wanting to test the market next year. It's just a chance you'd have to take. I think the Josh Donaldson stuff is just talk. I don't think they're looking to move him at all. But Tampa Bay would probably be the best trade partner because of Colum A. And it's just good to hear that the Cardinals are in on these guys, but being in on them isn't getting them. And to me, the Gregerson and Mikolas, those are guys that they could have got them maybe in a couple weeks still. You know, why make that the priority? You know, that's kind of where I'm at. If you want to make a big splash, and they did go after Stanton, but go after these guys and get something done. You know, the low-hanging fruit, that's getting old.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to call Gregerson low-hanging fruit. He's not that bad. I don't think he's low-hanging fruit. Mikolas is low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry. You can tell me all day long that other teams are interested in him. I really don't care. He's low-hanging fruit. Call it whatever you want. I don't give a shit if he wins 15 games and has a 3.9 ERA. He's low-hanging fruit, and it worked out great because those things happen. I have no problem with that. What I'm, you know, I'm going back to this. We are not built to take chances on guys right now. You want to build me a team where we can take a chance or two, then go ahead. Not this one. We already got too many maybes. This is getting, let me tell you something. This is, and again, I use this term already. I'm going to use it again. This is unacceptable. Now, you mentioned some names, so let's talk about a couple of those names. Let's start with the big dog. Let's just start there because I guarantee you, myself, Benji, Steve's not here, which I can't believe because the Cowboys won. But Chris, you, everybody out there, if you start talking about Manny Machado, they start freaking out and, oh yeah, got to have him. You know, nothing less will be. Now, there's all kinds of reports. And what did we learn in the Stanton thing? I don't even know what to believe anymore, right? That's what we learned. Okay, that's what we learned in the Stanton thing. So I say this to you. Let's just say, hypothetically, that Stanton's real. The whole thing's real. They really are in on him. Well, I promise you, it's going to cost you what it was going to cost for Stanton in prospects. So I'll ask you, and I'll go around the table, and we'll make this really quick. Do you trade all those top prospects for what really is 1 year? And I know, Chris, you mentioned sign him or trade for him with an extension. I'm not going to say for sure, but I got told a year ago when I was talking about this that there's a new rule that you don't get to do that anymore. You don't get to meet with a guy and have him agree to an extension before you trade for him. So those days are over, I think. And again, if somebody thinks I'm wrong about this, correct. I did not know that. A year ago, somebody corrected me and said, hey, that's a great idea, but the Josh Donaldson thing you had, this was at the end of last year, but or in the offseason, and they sent me an article where it basically discussed that you're not allowed to meet with those guys and talk contract extension anymore. But then again, people said you couldn't meet with a guy and talk about a trade either. So I have no idea. But if you know more about that, please send it at us. Again, I'm going to reach out to some guys that I know for sure the rules, so I'll do that as well. That being said, so let's go with what I think we know, and that is you don't get to meet with the guy and talk extension. If you trade all these prospects, the only thing you're guaranteed is 1 year of Machado. So, Benji, I'll start with you. Are you going to trade all those top prospects for 1 year of Machado and take your chances you can sign him, knowing it's probably going to be about $400 million?
No, I would not do that. I would not do that, man. There are other guys that can help us. And Machado, Stanton, and all those guys will be looking awesome in a Cardinal uniform. Yes, they will be looking awesome, but the circumstances doesn't say to me that we're going to do that. I mean, I don't want to leave all those prospects for 1 year guide and then take a chance. No, that's a bad business deal. So guess what? We got older guys. We got Osuna out there that we could get, and the Marlins are willing to trade. We have Hosmer still in the market. We have J.D. Martinez. We got all these guys still in the market, man. What is it a big deal for them to say, listen, we were going to spend $290 million for 10 years. Why can't we get these guys? Why can't we get Hosmer? Why can't we offer Wade Davis a great contract so he can close games against the Cubs, bro? And we're talking against the freaking Cubs instead of the Wade Davis closing out the games against us and putting us in a hole. No, get that guy out of there because we're going to need him. What did the Cubs do? They go and get Morrow and from the ALA Dodger who they face. It's like, no, Morrow, you come over here. You beat them now. Man, I mean, we have so many options out there, and I hope and I pray that I really do that we still got time. You know, we still got time to go get these guys, but sooner or later, they're going to start going, and then what are we going to do? If you keep fueling up, like Chris say, you can get these guys that you just signed a week, a 2 weeks before spring training, a month before spring training. You can do that. You can do that. That's not your priority as a team. Your priority is to get better in the bullpen with main guys, with name guys. Is their priority is to get a couple bats in the middle of the lineup so we can be powerful. We can be a powerhouse. And then to get a starting number one guy that it can help Carlos Martinez in that 1-2 punch, and then we can have three more guys that in the back end that are really good. That's the priority for me. And I don't see it happening right now, but I just hope and pray that we're still in it, you know, because we still got time.
Chris, your thoughts on Machado, and would you trade all those prospects for only guaranteed 1 year?
I couldn't do it. I mean, Machado, it's a very attractive, you know, deal to have him in St. Louis, but you can't do it on a what if and get burnt on him leaving the next year. Like I said, Ozuna would be the bat that I would like the most, but I think Tampa Bay is probably our best trade partner. And even if that, you know, Longoria part of a deal to get Archer or Odorizzi or Colome, you know, Longoria hasn't got the bat that he used to have, but he is still a gold glover. And, you know, he's making some money. So I don't know. I think Tampa Bay would be the route that the Cardinals do go. But I couldn't trade, you know, the top prospects for a one-year guy, even if it is Manny Machado.
Well, again, I'm with you. I love Manny. Who wouldn't love Manny? I mean, I've said since day one, he's the guy you got to go get. Now, in my opinion, what you got to do is if you trade for him, you're putting your cards out on the table and you're all in on him. Now, your hope is, and this has been talked about ad nauseum on social media, your hope is that, like in the past, you've gotten guys to come in here and they fall in love with the city. There's a variety of reasons. People want to blame the manager. They want to blame the front office. They want to blame the atmosphere. They want to blame the town. They want to blame no bells and whistles. They want to blame the divide that's going on in the community, the rioting, all that. They want to blame all this stuff for why guys no longer do this. Now, the truth of the matter is, when it comes to that part of it, we're talking about one guy, and that's Jason Hayward. That's the only guy that we have traded for that had that year left and then didn't re-sign with us that we actively tried to sign. To my knowledge, every guy that we've brought in here did that. Here's what I say. While the city's, I think's an issue, I do think that's an issue. And it's a sad issue because I don't know there's really anything the Cardinals can do about it. There's nothing you and I can do about it. This is a social issue, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem in other areas too, but it's been really, listen, if you don't realize it in the last year to 2 years especially, that there hasn't been a large magnifying glass on the city of St. Louis and the things that go on in our community, then you've got your head buried in the sand. That's a problem. But I'll also say this. It was really, really easy years ago when these guys got traded here, and I don't give a crap. I mean, there's been guys in here. People say, well, they don't like Matheny. Well, okay, so because a couple guys didn't like Matheny, I get it. Okay, and that's fine. He's not Connie Mack. I get it. But I promise you this, Scott, you know, Tony La Russa had guys that didn't like him either. You're never going to, everybody's not going to like you, okay? My point on it is this. When you get traded to a town like St. Louis, the one thing that's going to take care of itself, especially since Tony La Russa got here, okay, that's when the tide started turning. We became Cardinal Nation, baseball heaven, whatever you want to call it, okay? The reality was, yes, the fans did their job. Absolutely, the fans have always done their job when it comes to selling the Cardinals to a player. Absolutely. But you know the other thing that was going on when we traded for those guys? Things got really good here. So if you got traded here and you had a good team and it was winning and the team was going out and they kept improving and you had the community behind you and you had 40,000 in the stands every night and they were paying you money, well, then why wouldn't you stay? But listen, I can tell you right now, if I get traded here and I think the community's falling apart and I can see that this team, while they traded for me, what else did they add? Okay, and we're losing, and I see that there's other teams that I don't even think we can compete with, kind of like Jason Hayward did, which everybody hates him for it, but basically Jason Hayward told the truth. He said, listen, I don't see it, and I want to win, and I'm young, and this is my opportunity to sign a big deal and go somewhere. I'm going up here because I think these guys got it together, and guess what, folks? We don't want to admit it, but they do got it together up there, okay? They got it together. We got to get it together down here. And if we had it together, I promise you this, if in the last three, I've said this since day one, and you all can keep blaming Mike, and I don't care if you blame him because I don't think he's a great manager on the record. There you go. It's on the record. I like to play devil's advocate. I don't think he's a great manager. But I promise you, as I sit here today, he is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is starting in 2012, whether you want to admit it or not, they have disregarded the roster. They signed Beltran and it filled a hole, and that's it. The roster has gotten worse every year. Take a look at our playoff picture. It has gotten worse every year. If we had a good roster that was constructed with some thought process into it of how it's going to play, okay, and you trade for Manny Machado, I'd be all in. If I thought Manny Machado would get here and look around and go, holy shit, look at this team. You look at these fans. Look at the support we get. Look at what the front office is doing. Look at all this talent around me. Why would I leave if they're going to offer me $400 million? I would absolutely trade for him. But I promise you, if we trade for him and he's got to watch Luke Gregerson come in with his 4-something ERA and balls getting knocked out of the yard all over the place, walking guys like I saw last year, and yes, I did have him on my fantasy team last year, and he was in the lineup. He was in and out of the lineup more than you guys that hated when Tommy Pham was. I promise you. He almost got released last year, okay? And if he's got to watch Mikolas go out there and pitch, and he's sitting there, if you're him, why would you stay? I don't get it. So there's no way I'm trading all those prospects for a guy. Now, if we'd have addressed this roster the last couple years and we had gotten a couple of guys and we were better at some of these positions, yeah, I'd absolutely go get him because now I think I have something to sell him. Right now I got nothing to sell him other than, hey, we got a great baseball community. The fans love you. We have 40,000 people every night and we're going to give you money. Well, guess what, folks? There's plenty of other great cities. Do you think baseball's not popular in New York with the Yankees? Do you think baseball's not popular in Chicago with the fans? Are you guys kidding me? Get your head out of the sand. Other teams have great baseball towns. And guess what else they'd have? If we're willing to give him $400 million, they're going to give him $400 million, I promise you. Go ahead, Benji. I know you want to say something.
No, I wanted to say that, talking about the trades, you know, it's a little different when you're trying to get a guy here on a free agent than a trade. A trade, you just trade it, you know, like you were saying earlier.
Yep.
The trade, you just come in earlier and then you fall in love afterwards. But the free agency, you never been there, you never know, you only heard about the town. If you're a player and I have a free agency and I have a chance to sign with the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm going to look on your team. I'm going to look on your roster and I'm going to say, okay, wow, they lost a lot of games in the bullpen last year. Wow, they finished third. Okay, hold on. All right, now let me go to the Cubs or the Yankees. Let me see the Angels. Wow, they got Mike Trout. Wow, they got Pujols. Wow, they got Otani now. Wow, they got a thing. Okay, who do they have pitching? Oh, they sign a name guy, you know, like a good guy. You know what I'm saying? So the free agency guys will look at the roster, and if they don't find their roster sexy, sexy is a word, like good, you know, if they don't find that roster good, they don't bite it, man. They don't bite it. You can go fishing all you want for those guys, but as soon as they see the roster and they don't like it, you know, like, they'll be like, oh, shoot, nah, that's not it. You know, let's go find somewhere else. Because that's what happens. That they do happen. So go look at our roster. Go look at the Cubs roster. Go look at the Indians roster. Go look at the Yankees. Go look at the playoff team roster, the LA Dodgers. And you tell me, where would you go? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's what the team, that's what the ownership, that's what all of those guys have to have their freaking brains on right now. How do I make my team better to compete and make it to the freaking playoff with the team, you know, like with the name guys? How do I do that? And I know they can, Jimbo. I know they can and they should, because they were willing to trade all the prospects and get all that $290 million for 10 years. 10 years. So that tells me that money, they could be used for a Hosmer, that could be used for a Carlos Gonzalez, maybe. Who knows? For J.D. Martinez. It could be used for Wade Davis. It could be used for Brett Holland. It could be used for a Stoddard. It could be used for a Trey and get Archer. I mean, it could happen, dude. It could happen. It's just that, remember, when we started talking before the offseason, I told you guys, this is an offseason for them to show the fans, how into it they are. When they saw the Cubs, when they saw Milwaukee going over us, not only the Cubs, Milwaukee went over us. All of a sudden, we don't make it for a few years on the playoff. Everybody's panicking. I'm telling you, this offseason is a test to the organization to see what they can do to bring it back, bro. And they still got time.
Well, let's. I want to get. We're running short on time here. I want to get to some Twitter questions and get you guys' thoughts on this here. So let's go to our Innovative Electric Twitter questions of the show. And don't forget our friends over at Innovative Electric, another arm under the Innovative Company's umbrella. They'll help you with your new construction. They do panel changes. They do the full service upgrades as well. They'll replace your fixtures and devices. They're a full service department that takes care of exterior and interior lighting. Energy management systems, which is really big business right now, people looking for energy solutions. Give them an opportunity. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. That's your innovativecompanies.com. Guys, I'm going to ask you guys a couple of these questions, and I want to let our listeners know that planning on having special episodes this week, so we're going to be on at least three times. I know tomorrow, I believe Craig Mish is going to join us. He's at the winter meetings. Obviously, you guys remember him from the Stanton talks. You know, I know Benji's out of country, and if he can join me, great. If not, I plan on bringing you guys some info from down at the winter meetings, and we'll address some of these other things. So I want to get to the ones that I think are more Benji oriented, and Chris, we're going to get your thoughts on them as well. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Richard McGill, 89. What two relievers would Jim and Benji, and in this instance, we're going to ask Chris, would both seek via free agency and or trade to improve the pen? I'm suggesting they need two more. Now, so this was after. He noticed this after the signing of Gregerson. I'm with him. We need two more. I don't know that we'll get two more. I think what we're going to get, and again, complete guess on my part. I shared something with somebody the other day. My one of my sources is Bullwinkle, so there you go. One of my guess is I think they get an actual closer now because, you know, I don't think they're going to sign another guy. I don't think it's going to be Reed or Nicasio or somebody. I think this is it. I think so now instead of bringing in a couple guys that have closing experience, I think now they actually go get a closer. That's what I believe. I could be wrong. So I think right now it's Colome or bust. Obviously, I'd love to sign Davis. But if I get Colome, that seems more cardinal, more cost-controlled. It's going to depend on what it costs. If it turns into a bigger deal, great. But for me, if you're asking my opinion, and it's two, I'll take Colome and Addison Reed. Now I'll go to work because, like I said, the signings of Mikolas and Addison Reed Luke Gregerson tell me Mo came out with a wish list the other day and said this is what we need. He obviously added mop up guy and sixth or seventh starter to the list because that's what I think those two guys are. So if you go get a couple of really good relievers and now Luke Gregerson's pitching in the sixth inning, well, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. So that's who I would get. Benji, how about you?
I think they need two more guys in the bullpen. I don't care if they got Gregerson. I think they need two more name guys.
Who you want? Ideally, who do you want? You get to pick two guys.
I want I would like Albers if we can get him. I would like Shaw if we can get him. I would like Greg Holland if we can get him. Colomay in the trade. Mr. Hand in the Padres if we can do a trade with them. There's so many out there. Addison Reed still out there. I want names. I want guys who've done it. I want guys who are great, like Morrow, how he did it, and things like that. I want those guys. We need two, and that's the bottom line. I don't care if they sign Gregerson or Mikolas to relieve or whatever it is. I don't care. I think we need two more guys to compete.
Okay, Chris, how about you? Ideal world, if you get two more relievers, who do you want?
I think Colomay is who they'll target, and if I had to get a second, I'd probably put Nicasio in with him.
Okay. I could go Nicasio because, listen, while I've said on here that I'm not prepared to just give him the closer job to a guy that's got like nine career saves, not that I don't think he can do it. It's the same thing as the other two signings. We got to have a guy that's done it because we're not in a position to take chances. Now, if they signed a guy, like if they traded for Colomay and you brought back Nicasio, I got to tell you, you would not hear a complaint from me about the bullpen. I would be completely happy. Great call on that, Chris. I think that's a good one. This is a good one here. This is for all three of us. Let's start with this one first. Jeff Niehaus, the guy is on us all the time. Great questions. _ fly the L _. If they limit the number of mound visits, will it help or hurt the game? I think this one is just for Benji because he's done it. So, in your opinion, will it hurt the game if they limit those number of mound visits?
Nope, it's not going to hurt anything, but I don't like it. The game is not controlled by mound visits. You need mound visits sometimes because a lot of times you have the runner at second when you got a chance to sign. And if you only have a couple of times to go change, that you're giving the hitter the advantage because now I cannot go the third time, I cannot go the fourth time, and that freaking guy at second base is going to be telling him what's coming. Fuck that, I mean, sorry. Heck with that. I don't like that. You can go to the mound as much as you can. The umpire be the one in control and say, hey, man, don't go too many times. Stay here with me. Wait a couple pitches or something, and then you can go. Something like that is okay. But to having mound visit, get the heck out of here, man. This is not other sport. This is baseball, man. You can go as many times as you want. And as soon as they put that mound visit, I tell you, the advantage goes to the hitter. Because the pitcher and catcher cannot change signs because you don't want the mound visits, but the runner at second is not stopped from telling the signs to the hitters. So I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing there. Okay, so let's go to this last question because it also ties into our Twitter poll. They're kind of go hand in hand. So let's go to our Innervated Heating and Cooling Twitter poll. And so I'll read the question and that our friend Drizzy Drutzer asked. It's a good question, and it's basically, do you expect a huge splash from the winter meetings from the Cardinals? Well, that tied into our Twitter poll question. So what we'll do is I'll go around and I'll ask you guys what you think and why. Chris, I'm going to start with you. So our Innervated Companies, excuse me, guys, our Innervated Companies, Innervated Heating and Cooling Twitter poll was, what are your expectations for the Cardinals front office heading into the winter meetings? Cards hit a homer, improvement, same old Cardinals, or are you kidding? What do you think, Chris?
Well, if it's the same old Cardinals, it's going to have quite the backlash from fans. I'm hoping it's not all talk. You got to go with your gut sometimes and think they're going to do something. So I'm going to go with big splash, but that's just a fan wanting his team to do something.
So you're going to go with Cards hit a homer, basically, then. So, okay,
yeah.
That sounds good.
Yep.
And I'm okay. And listen, I hear you. So, Benji, what are your expectations for the Cardinals front office heading into the winter meetings? Cards hit a homer, improvement, same old Cardinals, are you kidding?
I'm with Chris. I don't want to think about that the Cardinals didn't do crap. I want to go all in. I want to go with the one that the Cardinals hit a home run. I hope they hit a grand slam. I hope they hit three grand slams in this winter meetings. I really do. And it's not what I want. It's that they need it. The fans need it. The town of St. Louis need it. They need to make a splash. They need to make a home run in this winter meetings. They need to get this team better if they want to compete, not only with the Dodgers, not only with the whatever San Francisco's probably going to bounce back, but their own division, the Cubs, the Milwaukee. We finished third. Don't forget that, guys. So I hope, and it's not what I hope. They need to hit a home run. I hope it's a grand slam.
Well, I'm with you. I'm going to stay consistent. I voted Cards hit a homer, and although I'm upset, see, that's the thing. Everybody's like, hey, you think the offseason's over? No, I'm talking about to this point. And again, I'm going to stay consistent. I'm not going to deviate. I think these signing, there is, and again, I've been called naive. Maybe I am. I've been called naive.
Maybe. It's not about what the Cardinals. It's not about what you think the Cardinals are going to do. It's what you feel. It's what your heart tells you they need to do. So if you ask me that, they need to go for the freaking home run. They need to go for a grand slam. Heck yeah, they do.
No, I agree, and I'm telling you that again. This is all going to play into my conspiracy theory. I think this is just another reason why I think they are. Like, there's going to be a big trade, and when it's over, we're going to go, holy cow. And the reason is, I cannot believe that these are their signings so far. Knowing that they're under the microscope of an entire fan base, knowing that they're under the microscope of all the guys they're trying to get, I cannot believe that this is the message to this point. And again, I know the winter meetings are just starting, but I just can't believe that they're going to go out and add a couple of quote-unquote pieces and say, there you go. This screams to me, and again, there's other things too. If you really want to get technical, when's the last time they had their 40-man roster full? Okay, he loves to have a spot open for Rule 5. So there's something coming. There is a trade coming. What it is, I have no idea, and I think it's a big one.
I don't care what they have, Jimbo. I really don't care what they have, if they have a spot or not. They need to go do something, man, because the other teams are over us.
Well, we're going to see what happens because, like I said, I voted, very simply, you know, probably as you two guys did, if you did vote in it or if you're just telling me. But like I said, I voted for Cards hit a homer because I'm going to stay consistent. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, improvement won, and it won going away at half the vote. Cards hit a homer, actually finished second, which makes me glad that Cardinal fans haven't completely abandoned. 21% saying same old Cardinals is a frustrated fan base, folks. I'm sorry. 6%, are you kidding? Those are guys that just, you know, again, I get it. I mean, but they're going to be the kind of guys that voted on this, and they're just not going to be happy until we move forward. Some great questions that we're going to address at different times based on what's going on right now. Stephen Feistel, you are dying to hear the Johnny Bench story from Yachty, which we'll cover on another show when things have quieted down and we're actually looking for things to talk about. Yachty having Oquendo drop off the crackers at the plate for Jose, we're going to cover that as well. There were some other good questions that I think we're going to try to get to maybe on tomorrow's show. Jay Duda, you had a good one. Oh, you also asked about the crackers. I promise you we will cover that at another time. Corey Britton, I think your question is going to be a whole show dedicated to it. This is something I'm going to invite Chris Lawless in with us on. Corey Britton wants to know, if we were to put it together, a Cardinals dream team of the past and present players, what would it be? I think that's a whole show. I think it's awesome. I want to get the fans involved. Chris, I think you're perfect to join that show for us, so I'll give you a heads up so you can put together your dream team. Of course, Brandon Petty, your question is great too. I think that's a hypothetical that I think needs discussion, and we don't have the time for that today, but we will. I want to take one moment, and before we go, I want to mention a fan that our heart goes out to, and that's William Bernard. Will Skywalker, B. I've had some exchanges with Will in the past, as he's a numbers guy, and as most of you know, I'm trying to learn more about the numbers, hence why we've invited Mo's Algorithm to be a part of the show. But I had some exchanges with him early on, and they seemed a little tense, but he's a great guy and put aside our differences, and we've had some great exchanges. He sent me a very heartwarming note that I want to thank him for, and I sent him one back, but he lost his grandfather, and he was able to have his grandfather for a longer period of time than they had initially told him, and he built a bond through baseball with his grandfather and his own daughter, and you know, it's hard to lose somebody like that, but I want to tell you that we're all thinking about you, and we know that, you know, because of baseball and your memories, that you'll always have your grandpa with you. And I want to thank you for the note that you sent us. It made me feel like somebody is listening, but at the end of the day, what I sent you back is the truth. Your grandfather lived an extra few months because of the time that he enjoyed spending with you and your daughter and talking about what you all love and that's Cardinal baseball. And for all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, that's what we love to do is talk about Cardinal baseball. We're going to get it, we're passionate, so we're going to get upset, we're going to get furious, we're going to get frustrated, but we still love them. I mean, I say this all the time. I don't know why anybody takes joy and pride in telling me what they are and aren't going to do. You want to be frustrated? That's fine. You can be a fan. You can do whatever you want to do. Being frustrated is one thing. I'm not going to complain. I know it's the off season. I know we got miles to go. I do not like what we've done. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I think it's silly. Hey, listen, these guys may wind up on the All-Star team for all I know, because I say it all the time. What do we really know? So for all the guys here at Two Birds on a Bat, I want to thank you all for joining us. Remember to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. You can check us out at our website there, follow and listen to the show. Don't forget our social media. You can hear us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. I want to thank all of our social media partners. Don't forget our friends, RallySquirrel.com, Nate McHenry. We're getting ready to jump on with him for the Rally Squirrel Report for our premium podcast. Don't forget the man that joined us today, and I want to thank him, Chris, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, tremendous Facebook pages. I know as a fan, I appreciate everything you do. Keep up the good work. I'm looking forward to you coming back on the show and doing that one with us on the Cardinals Dream Teams. That sound like something you'd enjoy?
Oh, definitely. I'm glad to be on, and Benji, it was nice talking to you, and yeah, anytime you guys want, just holler. I'm right here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Chris, man. Thank you. We'll enjoy it.
Arch City Sports, again, Cardinal Freaks, St. Louis Cardinals fans unite. Going to thank again lineupmedia.fm, our partners at Innovated Companies. I leave you guys with an interview that I did last week. We have a young man in our community that's quite the baseball prospect. He plays right here in Edwardsville with my son. As a 14 turned 15 year older last year, he went down to, a lot of you guys have seen Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant and these guys. When they were younger, you'd see these prolific videos of them in this power showcase, this home run derby thing. And that's when you kind of realized what they were going to be and that they just had skills that other kids just didn't have. We have a young man in our community who's made a passion out of baseball that I was fortunate enough to coach. And again, I take no credit whatsoever. This young man is a prospect, no doubt about it. As a freshman in high school, he committed to one of the top baseball programs in the country, Louisville University. He was sought after by, you know, you can go down the list. They all wanted him. He loved Louisville on his visit. He visited, you know, Ole Miss, Alabama, everywhere you want to talk about, he could have went there. Last year, he was tabbed as the representative for the state of Illinois in the Power Showcase. He finished second out of all the kids that were down there. He actually won the first round. I think he hit 19 home runs, wound up with 26 or 27, something, 28 maybe. I watched it on TV. He was hitting balls in the upper deck in right center in Miami, not with an aluminum bat, but they did, you know, I don't care what it is. At 14, 15 years old and you're hitting balls 500 feet, that's impressive. He's been invited back again this year to represent Illinois. The coolest thing about it is, guys, they use this platform for charity. Last year, people were able to donate money based on how many home runs. They could just do a donation. They could do whatever. This year, he is providing all the money for a teammate's cousin, a young man. You know, childhood cancer is awful. It is, the Blues have just went through it with Ari. This young man's best friend on his St. Louis Pirates baseball team is also going to Louisville with him. This other young man's cousin has cancer. You can learn more about what type of cancer it is and what this young man's dealing with simply by going to twobirdsonabat.com. We're going to have a PDF on there and a link to get you to where you can support. This young man's name is Drake Westcott. He's from Edwardsville, Illinois. He's a very familiar name in St. Louis. As a freshman in high school, he hit like 450 and led the area in home runs with 12. Again, just a tremendous athlete, doing something good for the community in a way that's fun and an opportunity for everybody to get behind a local boy as he goes down and competes with the best in the country, best in the world, really, in the National Power Showcase. I'm going to leave you with that. And, again, look for the special episodes this week. Again, thank you for everybody from Benji Molina, Steve Flowers, who isn't here, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, my producers, everybody at lineupmedia.fm. Again, this is our man, Drake Westcott. We're asking you to support him. You can do that at twobirdsonabat.com. Let's go, Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Cards.
All right, Cardinal fans out there. I'm joined in studio now by a very special guest. I've known this young man. Well, actually, there's two guests in the room, and one of them I've known for over 15 years. I was there when he was born, obviously, because he's my son. And the other one is a young man that I've known since he was 8 years old, played baseball for me, turned himself into a heck of a baseball player, and now has become an elite player, finds himself going to Louisville to play baseball committed as a freshman in high school to go to one of the best baseball schools in the country. He's made himself one of the top prospects in the country as well. When it comes to baseball, I'd like to welcome in Edwardsville's own Drake Westcott. How are you, Drake?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Well, I have you on the show today, and I kind of teased it earlier in the show that I was going to have you on. You are doing something really special. You had the opportunity to do it last year, and knowing you, I thought maybe we'd at least reach out to all the great Cardinal fans out there, see if they would be interested in helping you help somebody. You participated last year in what's known as the International Power Showcase. For a lot of Cardinal fans, I would encourage you to go look at some of the Cardinal prospects that we have. Some of them, I believe Terry Fuller is a player that the Cardinals have drafted that has been involved in something like this. But the reality of it is, it's done in Florida at Pro Player Stadium in Miami. Is that right, Drake?
Yeah, at Miami Marlins
Stadium. Miami Marlins Stadium. And basically they have different age groups, and it's you represent your state, correct?
Yeah.
So last year as a 14-year-old, you were chosen, and anytime I'm wrong, please stop me. Last year as a 14-year-old, you were chosen as the representative for the state of Illinois, right? And you competed in the 14-year-old division? Oh, 15. You competed with the 15-year-olds as a 14-year-old?
As a 15.
Oh, you were 15 last year when this happened. Okay, that's right, you're 16 now. I'm thinking of Logan. I keep forgetting you're actually a year older than him, even though you're in the same grade. Okay, so you were 15 last year, competed in this contest. Tell us a little bit about how the whole thing went for the contest itself first. So, like, how does it work?
Well, there's usually 30 people in it from, like, 30 states. And when you get there, you go there. First day, get you all your gear, and you draw a number. You draw a number, and I think I drew, like, 28. So I had to go, like, almost very last. So it depends on, like, what number you draw, what order you hit in. Like, obviously, one goes first and then keeps going down to 30. And you just go through it, and the final two advanced, or if like the two that hit the most home runs, and then the person who hit the farthest home runs, and then there would be three in the final round. And there ended up being three when I was down there because I hit the most, and then another kid hit the second most to go into the championship, and then the kid hit one like 490 feet. So he hit the farthest home run. He was a wild card, so he got in.
So the first round through, you hit the most home runs. Do you remember how many that was?
I think I hit 16 in the first round.
You hit 16 in the first round. Now, for our listeners, we're talking about a 15-year-old young man from right here in this area in Edwardsville. And believe me, there's a lot of really good players in the area. You play for which organization over in St. Louis?
St. Louis Pirates.
So you play with numerous good players. You're friends with guys that play for some of the other programs, Missouri Gators, St. Louis Prospects. You have friends littered throughout St. Louis that are really good players, but you were chosen as the rep from Illinois. Do you remember how that happened?
Brian Domenico, the head of the Power Showcase, he contacted my dad and said that he'd watch me hit, and he wanted me to participate in the Power Showcase, so he offered me a spot.
Okay, now I've coached you I didn't later on, but I coached you when you were younger. You've always, I mean, you've been you're a big kid. How big are you?
6'3".
6'3", 225, and you were about that last year. You're kind of growing into your body now. You're getting actually more looking like a man, but last year you were that size as a freshman. Last year as a freshman, you were part of a pretty awesome experience at your high school. Obviously, and not obviously, it was a great accomplishment. You started for Edwardsville High School at first base as a true freshman. Not true freshman, it's not college, but you started as a freshman, and you guys had an unbelievable run.
Yeah.
Where did you – I mean, I think I may have mentioned on the show, but actually Benji Molina had come and talked to you guys when he was in town, mm-hmm. and kind of told you, hey, you know, this is the ultimate goal is to win a state title, and you guys come up one game short, finish second. So an unbelievable run for you. But as a freshman that made a state run in the highest class, last year I believe your stats were pretty good. Correct me if I'm wrong, you were 450-ish?
Yeah, something
hit,
like that.
And you led the area in home runs with 12, is that right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, as a freshman. Left-handed power bat. So, for all of our listeners out there, here's why we have him on today. This isn't just about hitting home runs. Last year you went to your head coach because part of the deal is you have to also involve a charity, So now your high school baseball coach, Tim Funkhauser, along with you, have picked something that is very near and dear to you. Why don't you tell our listeners what you're going down there for to represent as far as like the charitable end of what you're doing?
Well, last year we partnered with Cardinal Glennon, and we're doing the same this year. We're partnering with Cardinal Glennon and Team Cody. Cody's one of my teammates' cousins, and he's 16, and he has, I think, bone cancer. Okay. So,
and the friend, oddly enough, the friend of yours that you're talking about is another kid your age that plays with you on the Pirates, and he, too, has committed to Louisville. So you guys are kind of thing one and thing two going to Louisville. I hope they know what they're in for. But this young man's name is Cody Warner. He's a high school junior from Vandalia, Illinois. He's the cousin of one of your friends. He was recently diagnosed with atypical Ewing sarcoma and is actively undergoing treatment. The thing that's cool is 100%, not a portion, like nothing to cover anything you're doing, 100% of the funds collected will be donated to the recipient. So that's really cool, too. Now, I want to tell people, I watched this last year online, and exactly what you think is going on. So you're sitting there going, oh, okay, it's pretty cool. 14, 15-year-old kids are probably going out to second base. And no, that's not how it works, right? You actually hit from home plate.
Yeah.
And you hit how many in the first round?
16.
And you wound up finishing second, lost by one, I think. How many did you hit in the second round? Do you remember? Was it
16 in the first, 9 in the second.
9 in the second. Obviously, it's just like we see on TV, it's a little tiring. You think you can win this thing this year?
Yeah, I really do. I figured out what I was doing wrong last year. I was rushing myself, so if I just pace myself, I think I can easily.
Some big names. I mean, your high school coach had sent us some things. There's some really big names that have been through this. I mean, guys like Chris Bryant. I mean, just we can go on and on and on about the guys that are in the big leagues, and then a lot of guys too that are in the minor leagues that have come through and have done this. You, like I said, as a freshman, committed to one of the top baseball programs in the country, and that's happening more and more. Younger guys, if they're talented, so you've committed to Louisville University to play baseball already. Obviously, you play for a prestigious organization here in St. Louis. You play in front of scouts every weekend. You obviously have aspirations and dreams. I mean, have you even thought about the fact that you're doing the same thing that a lot of the guys that have reached your ultimate goal are now doing?
Oh, last year I was down there, and one of the interviewers down there, we had to do a thing, like to interview us before.
Okay.
And they asked us some questions. And one of the questions was, like, who do you know that, like, or who, what players have you heard of that participated in the Power Showcase? And I said Bryce Harper. And then it really, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, this is pretty cool because he did this at my age, and I'm doing the same exact thing that he did. So it's pretty cool.
One of the cooler things, and, you know, I'm going to bring your teammate and friend in here in a second to ask him his thoughts as a young man as well that sees you from a different light maybe. But for me, I knew you'd do well. I mean, I've seen you play enough. But I got to be honest with you. I've known you, like I said, I've known you since you were 8 years old. You know that. Coached you in that. And believe me, I had nothing to do with your success. That's not my point. But to see you in that format, and I was watching you hit balls into the far reaches of Pro Player Stadium in the upper deck, I got to tell you, it was amazing. I mean, how did that – I mean, you hit some balls by the speakers.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit a ball that hit that speaker. I mean, that's – they did a thing on it. That's over 500 feet as a 15-year-old. Now – you're using an aluminum bat. We know that. But they're BB Corps bats, right? So they're dummied down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You actually did get to swing with a wooden bat. You did hit some out, correct?
No, we do that this year.
Oh, you do that this year. Yeah. Okay. It was another contest.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too. I want to say this, too. You're kind of a veteran of these. You've been in numerous home run derbies, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
How many have you won?
I think like six or seven.
So this you're into this thing. So really cool. I want to bring your teammate in, my son and one and only, Logan Cromer. Logan, you played baseball with Drake when he was 8 years old, and then now you see him on the St. Louis Pirates. You're part of the Edwardsville High School baseball program as well. Do you have any doubts he can win this thing this year?
No.
I mean, if you had to guess, I'm going to put the over and under on home runs he's going to hit this year at 30. Do you think he can get to 30 total for the whole thing?
Yeah.
You think he can get to 30?
Confident.
Does anything he does surprise you anymore, or do you kind of almost expect him to be as good as he is?
Well, I kind of expect him.
You do? You do? Works hard, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a lot of time working in the same training things as Drake. Does it push you to be better?
Yeah.
you know, you think you got something special here and you want to keep working on it. That's really, really cool. What about, how do you, like, you know Drew Stein, his friend. Does it mean something to you that this stuff's going for Drew's cousin? I mean, in the end, is that what this is really all about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Drake, you too. I mean, this is, obviously it's fun. It's going to be a memory, but does it, I mean, I saw you last year afterwards when you guys were presented with the stuff so that you can do the check. You were genuinely, like, ecstatic about that portion of it too. So for all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, we're going to get behind this thing and we're going to donate some money for sure. Our challenge to all of our Cardinal fans out there is to do this as well. I'm going to say that the best way to do this, I'm going to look over here and get some help from my producer. Producer Andrew, I would have to assume we could get this up on the website, could we not? And people could go to twobirdsonabat.com and we'll have something there for you. All right, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. I'll get this up, the flyer here in the next 24 hours. If you want to be a part of this, there's different ways you can do, and Drake, correct me if I'm wrong at any time here. Obviously, you can make a one-time just contribution, right? Somebody can say, hey, here's $10, here's $100, whatever. You can pledge, and interesting, I'm holding in my hand one that somebody has given you that's pretty generous. I would like to pledge $100 for each home run hit by Drake Westcott during the Power Showcase Home Run Derby. So $100 per each home run. So if you hit 30, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All right. And I won't say who gave this to me, but this is a pretty generous dude who does a lot of nice things in the community. So that's awesome. There's also a gold ball challenge. You'll be thrown one gold ball during the round, and if you hit a home run with the gold ball, the amount of the entire contribution is multiplied times 5. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a way to donate based on, let's see, I would like to pledge X amount of dollars per foot to be measured against the longest home run Drake Westcott hits during the Power Showcase Home Run Derby. Lots of ways people can get involved in this. Again, Team Cody, I think you have there's a Facebook page. You can type in Team Cody, Power Showcase, powershowcase.com. Lots of ways you can learn about this, but I'm telling you, we're going to go to twobirdsonabat.com. I promise you I'll have this up. You can click on it. It'll take you somewhere where you can make a donation and be a part of this. Drake, I appreciate you coming in today, and hopefully we've reached some people that this means a lot to them and they'd like to get involved in this.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good luck to you down there in Florida. Logan, thanks for being on the show, bud. Appreciate it.
No problem.
That is Drake Westcott and Logan Cromer, both from the Edwardsville High School and baseball program, and of course, St. Louis Pirates. Guys, I got to tell you, it was an amazing thing last year watching Drake do the home run thing. And again, like I said on there, was I surprised that he hit some home runs? No, I've seen him hit plenty of balls, you know, that go out of parks. And, you know, we think of big league parks. Big league parks are bigger than a lot of the parks they play in, but he's played in some big parks as well. To be completely honest with you, though, watching him obliterate baseballs into the upper deck in right center field of Pro Player Stadium was really cool. So I'm sure there'll be a way for you to follow this. We'll stay on top of this. The event itself is done over the holidays. It's at December 27th through the 31st. So that was another thing I kind of forgot to ask him about. It was kind of neat for him as being out of town during the new year like that. But it's a really neat deal. It's exciting to be a part of. And if you, too, want to make a difference in somebody's life that's dealing with this just awful cancer that's terrible, especially, I mean, it's bad all the way around, but gosh darn it, when it affects a young life like this, it's absolutely crazy. So we will have the opportunity for you to do this on twobirdsonabat.com. We hope that some of our listeners out there jump in on this. I know we're going to here at twobirdsonabat.com. My challenge to all of you is, you know, just a few bucks, or if you want to jump in with this young man and follow him along, you can bid per home run, as that's kind of the thing that most people do. He kind of told me that off air. Again, that's the challenge. We're going to do it here at Two Birds on a Bat. Maybe we'll have a little fun with it on a show. Maybe Benji Molina can get involved in this thing. Maybe I'll get Benji in town here, and him and Benji can square off on a diamond and see how that goes. But good stuff, as always, from the local community. Again, if any of you out there ever have anything like this that you want us to get behind and help you, please contact us, of course, at Two Birds on a Bat.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.